Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to be joining us right now in studio. We appreciate MVS from coming on in today. Let's put him right over there if we don't mind. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, currently a free agent wide receiver. We all remember his big touchdown catch in the Super Bowl this past year. MVS, appreciate you coming on in. Thanks so much for the time. Let's just make sure we get his microphone potted up. But MVS, thanks so much for coming on. How you been?
Yeah, man, for sure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
So let me take you back to the Super Bowl first.
Yeah.
That game, it felt like that it was going the way of the 49ers. And then it changed on a special teams play. And then the next play, you caught that touchdown. Did you feel that momentum shift in the game at the time?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is all about momentum. You know, timing is everything. The margin of, you know, winning and losing is so small. And so anything that we can do to kind of, you know, turn the momentum to our side and kind of run with it, you know, we'll take advantage of it. And we did that.
How do you describe playing and being a teammate of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best to ever do it, man. I was able to win 2 Super Bowls with him. He's a fearless leader, super competitive. You know, he's going to will his team to victory. Week in and week out, no matter the circumstances.
Are there similar? There's definitely similarities between Mahomes and Rodgers.
Yeah.
Are they different though? I know they're all time greats, but do you feel like they're different? You being a teammate of his in Green Bay with Aaron, and then Kansas City, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're both winners. They're both leaders. They're both great teammates, great friends of mine. Those are relationships that I'll have for the rest of my life, no matter where this football thing takes me. I'm grateful to have both those guys to be, you know, the first two stops of my career. You know, but the difference is, you know, there's not many. I think it's the age. You know, I think that's kind of it. You know, Pat's a little more outspoken, a little more fiery. Aaron's a little more reserved, and you know, but their play is one of a kind.
Can you pick which one is the better quarterback since you were able to play with both of them?
Nah, man, they're two different guys. But you know, their skill sets are very similar. What they do, you know, how they, you know, attack the game, their mentality. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, one's better, one's, you know, they think they're just different, but they're both great in their own ways.
Talking to Marquez Valdez-Scantling, kind enough to join us in studio. We'll get into the free agency search in just a bit, but going back to this run that Kansas City just had this past year, usually you guys don't get doubted because you guys have been the team to beat for a while now, but this year it seemed like there were moments in the season where the offense wasn't always as dominant. We know the defense was showing up, and even Pat talked about learning how to be more of a game manager this year. Was there ever doubt, though, in that locker room? Like after the Raiders game where you guys lost, was there ever a moment where this team seriously doubted themselves?
Nah, not ever internally. You know, we just had to figure out a couple of things, you know, internally to kind of get us to where we wanted to be. And, you know, once we did that, we started clicking. I think that's kind of where, you know, our season started to kind of change and things started to work. Obviously, you come off a Super Bowl win and your season is longer than everybody else's the year before. And, you know, everybody's giving you their best shot. You know, so we were able to come in and just kind of weather that storm and, you know, went back to back.
As a player in Kansas City, as you talked about, you know what the standard is. It's Super Bowl or bust every year. As long as 15 is on that field with Andy Reid on the sidelines, everyone expects a Super Bowl every year. Is it tough at times to get up for the regular season knowing that nationally the Chiefs season doesn't really start until the postseason?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it's one of those things where you never take this game for granted because you never know when your last game is going to be. So, you know, having the opportunity to go out there, you thank God every day to be able to go out there and play those games. You know, you're only guaranteed 17 games, you know, and you're not guaranteed a postseason. And so just being able to go out there and, you know, play each game like it could be your last game, you know, you never take those moments for granted, never take those games for granted.
What has Andy Reid meant to your career, just wondering?
Coach Reid's, he's like a granddad, man. He's like one of those guys you never want to disappoint. You know, he doesn't say much, but he cares more about you than, you know, any other person in that building. You know, as a person, as a player, he wants you to succeed, you know, on and off the field. He's super supportive. You know, he'll invite you over to his house for, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas, if you don't have a place to go. Like, he's one of those coaches where he genuinely cares about the player, you know, on and off the field. And he's just been able to kind of, you know, just be one of the greatest coaches to ever play this game. And I'm honored to, you know, be a part of his team.
Now, when I think of Andy Reid, I think of two things. I think of football, obviously, and then I think of food. And we all know he loves when you guys get him the burgers for gifts. But you playing and living in Kansas City the last 2 years, mm-hmm. What was your favorite barbecue spot, just wondering?
I don't know, man. Kind of tried them all. I don't think I had one that was just like...
Jack Stacks was my favorite.
Jack Stacks was cool. I had that like when I first moved out there. You know, I lived up in Liberty, so it was kind of a bit out the ways from all the, you know, the main barbecue places downtown.
How about the atmosphere in Kansas City, right? You have a legendary franchise, Arrowhead Stadium, and then you've also played in Green Bay.
Yep.
And we all know the legendary franchise of the Packers. How about playing for those two fan bases?
Man, I think I got spoiled, you know, coming out of college. You know, when I was getting drafted, I was like, man, I don't want to go play anywhere cold. And then I got the coldest place. You know, so God will humble you sometimes. You know, but just started my career there. You know, one of those legendary franchises that's, you know, one of the oldest to ever, you know, be a part of this National Football League, you know, historic, that I was able to be a part of that and win a lot of games there, had a lot of great teammates, learned a lot of stuff to grow as a man, and then going to play in Kansas City for my next 2 years and went to Super Bowls, part of another historic franchise. So, you know, I'm just honored and privileged to be able to, you know, say those are my two homes for the last 6 years.
Now, you play in your college ball at USF. Now going up against the Dolphins in that playoff game, how cold was it? Like, we read all the reports of the aftermath, but how cold was it that
night? Yeah, I mean, it didn't matter where you played football at. It didn't matter where you lived. You could have lived in Antarctica, and that still would have been cold to play in, man. Being out there for, you know, 4 hours and, you know, negative whatever temperature it was, and, you know, helmets were breaking, you know, chin straps were broken because it was just, that's how cold it was. The ground was frozen. There's literally nothing you can do to keep warm. But, you know, we had a little bit of an advantage because I think it was like 80 degrees in Miami when they had to fly up there and play in that. So you're talking about 100-degree temperature change. You know, that's huge.
You know the business of the NFL. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is here with us. You catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and then shortly after that, Kansas City moves on from you, and they release mm-hmm. you. Just how'd you kind of process that news when it happened back in February?
It's part of the game, man. You know, you want to finish your career out wherever you can, but, you know, you're not going to stay on the same team forever. There's only a select few guys that can do that. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, take my next step and from Green Bay to Kansas City, went to Super Bowls, signed my second contract, and be able to, you know, be a part of a great team that, you know, won two Super Bowls and, you know, three in the last 5 years, to be a part of a dynasty. And, you know, I'm just grateful for that opportunity.
For the next chapter, like, let's say I'm an NFL GM and I hit you up. I go, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, why should I take a chance on you? What can you still bring to a team? What do you say?
Man, turn the tape on. It's all there.
That just simple as that?
It's all there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, has it been busy? Like, do you expect to sign something soon?
Yeah, man. It's, you know, I've could have signed, you know, yesterday. I could have signed 2 weeks ago. But it's all about the right opportunity. You know, obviously, I've been in this league, you know, for some time. And, you know, it's not always about jumping out of there and, you know, and doing it, you know, right then and there. It's about taking your time and figuring out what's going to be the best situation for you, the best fit for you. You know, obviously, you want to go to a team that's still competitive because, obviously, you know, I've been a part of two great teams my last 6 years, and, you know, two Super Bowls and NFC championships, and you know, so I've done all that. I've been to the playoffs every year that I've played in this league. So, you know, I still want to go and compete at a high level, and you know, obviously taking care of myself and my family and, you know, my future. So those are the things that are important to me right now.
This could be a bizarre question because I know they just got rid of you and they released you. But with the Rasee Rice situation that's going on right now, and we don't know what his status is going to be, if Kansas City called you back up, would you be interested in a return?
You know, that's a question for me and my agent to talk about. But, you know, she's going to be fine and, you know, praying for, you know, all the people who were infected in that car accident.
Wrapping up with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, kind enough to join us in studio. Let me just get back to Aaron Rodgers. Have the Jets at all been interested, just wondering?
I mean, me and Aaron have talked, you know, but like I said, it's a conversation for me and my agent to kind of talk about. You know, I don't really want to talk about free agency stuff right now. I'll let that handle itself. Right now, I'm, you know, looking forward to, you know, whatever that looks like.
How about wide receivers right now in the NFL? Like, when you got into the league, who were some of the wide receivers that you looked up to, and now who are some of the wide receivers that are younger that you say, okay, they're really impressive?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, Larry Fitzgerald was always my favorite wide receiver. That's why I wore number 11. You know, obviously Julio Jones, looked up to him, you know, similar body type, you know, runs fast, you know, kind of do some of the same things that I try to emulate when I was coming into the league. So, you know, those are the two guys that I really, you know, admired and looked up to. And then obviously playing in Green Bay, I got to watch Devontae Adams play, you know, day in and day out. And, you know, I still think he's the best receiver in the league. And so just watching those guys and learning from those guys has been, you know, something I've always enjoyed and took so many notes from, and just watch how they moved and watch what they did. But there's a lot of young guys, man, that are playing well, and you know, I'm excited to see kind of what the future of the NFL looks like at wideout.
You know, it's a business, obviously, but to still see Devontae Adams, I know it's been a few years, in a Raiders uniform, is that bizarre since you guys were together in Green Bay?
Nah, because I was in a Chiefs uniform. I got to play him twice a year, you know, and he's still one of my closest friends that, you know, I've made through the NFL. We still talk regularly, you know, literally all the time. Check in with him, you know, checks in on me. You know, we talk about football, talk about life. Still send each other memes on Instagram, you know, and so, like I said, that's one of my boys, for real, so, you know.
So many people pretend to know Aaron Rodgers, and there's a perception that's painted of him.
Yeah.
Since you were a teammate of him, of his, and you got to know him when you were a little bit younger, entering the league as he was so established, just what kind of teammate is Aaron?
Man, he's one of the greatest teammates you'll ever find. He cares more about his teammates than about the game of football. You know, I think that's something that people don't really understand, because they get this perception of him that he's, you know, this whatever, this, you know, diva, or that he's all about himself, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. Aaron has taught me so much stuff, you know, on the field and off the field. He's, you know, a big advocate of just, you know, your mental health and how you approach, you know, life, not even just football, and, you know, the things that he's gone through, you know, over the years. He shares that and kind of just lets you know, like, hey, I'm human too. You know, I may throw this football really, really well, but I'm human too, and you know, I have bad days, I have good days, and just for him to, you know, be able to open that up and be a great friend to me, not even just a teammate, but a great friend to me, I'm forever indebted to him. You know, he's one of the guys that'll text me, you know, and say, hey, I'm proud of you, you know, even if it's, you know, completely random, you know, just, you know, hey, I'm reaching out to you, love you, bro. Like, those are things, you know, like I said, I haven't been his teammate in, you know, 2-3 years now, and, you know, we still have that same relationship.
The last thing I want to ask you, and I want to get an offensive player's perspective on this, because we've seen it go both ways. They bend the hip drop tackle. Mm-hmm. How'd you kind of react to that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Good luck to the defense, man. It's already hard enough to stop what we do offensively. You know, so telling them how they got to tackle, you know, it's good luck. Good luck.
So it seems like you kind of see the other side of it, like, yeah, the defensive, I mean, player side, where it's like, okay, how do you tackle
someone?
Yeah,
I mean, I can only imagine trying to tackle Travis Kelce. You know, he's 260-something pounds running away from you, and all you got is, you know, right behind him, and what are you going to do? Like, jump on his back, like, you know, get horse collared. And so there's just so many, you know, variables that comes to, you know, these guys making these adjustments for the defensive players, trying to bring down, you know, guys that are, you know, that big, and they have no idea what to do when they have to actually tackle them.
Last thing for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, since you brought up Travis Kelce, you guys always had a lot of attention in Kansas City. This year, though, it got turned up a little bit with Travis and Taylor dating. Just what was all that extra attention like? And like at the Super Bowl, I felt like every question was about Taylor Swift on that opening night.
I mean, it wasn't really for us. I mean, we just treated it like another player and their girlfriend. Like, it wasn't a distraction indoors. you know, obviously that's his personal life, and what he did outside of it was all on him. But in the building, it didn't bother us. You know, like to the TV, you know, it may seem like it, but when we were at our football game, we had a game to play. So we weren't looking up in the press box to try to find Taylor. You know, she's a great person and super supportive, you know, and supported Travis, you know, every time she could, you know, and that was dope to see. But we treated her just like every other, you know, girlfriend or wife, a part of the team. You know, I think that was, you know, cool for her to be a part of that as well, so she can, you know, feel human as well, because she's the biggest in the world. And so being able to come in and be around the players and interact with us like normal humans, I think that was cool for her too.
Well, good luck in whatever's next and where you wind up for this upcoming football season. Appreciate you coming on in today.
Yeah, man. Thanks. No problem.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.